Probably a little uptight today over a few things Bush said yesterday. And Cheney, I'll get over it. Well, no, I won't. But I will be back tomorrow. And I hope you are too. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. You can bet on that, baby.
This is the Quality News Network. 450 detainees have been released from Abu Ghraib prison under the Iraqi Prime Minister's National Reconciliation Plan. The project is designed to bring insurgents into the political process. One of Iraq's largest Sunni Arab groups has endorsed the plan. Three more members of the U.S. military have been killed in Iraq. A soldier and a Marine died in separate attacks today near Baghdad. Another U.S. soldier was killed yesterday in the Anbar province. Nearly 70 Iraqis have died in attacks throughout the country in the past 24 hours. The cost of fighting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is going up. The Army says it will need $12 billion next year to replace, repair, and upgrade equipment. That's triple what it's been spending each year since 2002. A second trial for Saddam Hussein is set to begin on August 21st, just as his first trial is ending. He is currently being tried for the deaths of Shia Muslims. In August, he'll stand trial for the deaths of an estimated 100,000 Kurds following the first Gulf War. President Bush's latest approval ratings have risen slightly. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows 38% of Americans approve of the job he's doing, up 5% from the previous poll. 64% of Americans say he still has no clear plan about what to do in Iraq. A Boston court is considering the case of a lesbian couple from Rhode Island who say they should be allowed to marry in Massachusetts. That despite the state's ban against marrying non-resident gay couples, the women argue that since Rhode Island doesn't expressly outlaw same-sex marriage, the Massachusetts ban shouldn't apply to them. The U.S. Surgeon General says secondhand smoke clearly kills people. The nation's most important physician says the only way to control it is to ban smoking in all workplaces. In Arizona, a 60,000-acre wildfire north of the Grand Canyon has marooned workers and tourists. In northern Nevada, lightning has sparked six more wildfires, many out of control. So far, about 50,000 acres have been destroyed there. This is the Quality News Network. Business news is next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Late payments to credit card bills climbed in the first quarter of this year by 4.4%. Morgan Stanley has agreed to pay $10 million to settle charges by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The commission claimed the firm failed to ensure it had procedures in place to prevent the misuse of insider information. The Tribune Company has announced it'll buy back 45 million shares at $32.50 each, part of a $2 billion repurchase program. That's despite opposition from its second largest shareholder, the Chandler Trusts, which wanted the company to either break up or sell itself. Three British bankers will be extradited to the U.S. from England to face Enron-related fraud charges. The men had fought the move, saying that most of the alleged offenses took place in Britain and they should stand trial there. Intel is selling its division that makes processors for handheld devices. Marvel Technology will pay $600 million. Light sweet crude oil today was trading at $71.80 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 116 points at 10,929. NASDAQ down 30 points at 2103. S&P 500 was down 10 points at 1240. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me try.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, being brought to you under the auspices of the Head On Radio Network. Good to be back with you today. It's Tuesday afternoon, about 6 minutes, a little bit, almost 7 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. I'd like to, give you a quick push, if you could, to go ahead over to our Head On Radio Network chat room and log in and take part in some of the festivities that are going on in there. There's a few people hanging out in there. I'm in there. If you have questions you want to ask me during the show, you can do that right there in the chat room. Or you can email me, Bruce at Bruce Birch, that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at BruceBirch.com. You can also, if you want to get in on the show, as our announcer so ably stated at the start of the program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, I also want to mention that our good friend Ben Birch over at White Rose Society is doing a fundraiser today. Actually, he's doing a fundraiser yesterday and today and until he reaches his goal. So if you want to hear me stop talking about it, go on over there and drop a few bucks if you have it to spare. You can do without lattes for a week to forward progressive causes. And if you do that, if you do without your latte, if you have one latte a day for the next week and you don't do it, there's $30 that you can give to Ben Birch. So to help him run WhiteRoseSociety.org. Now, what is White Rose Society? WhiteRoseSociety.org is a repository, if you will. It's a liberal, progressive talk radio repository. So, if you want to go over there and download some of these shows, you can do that. You can go over there, you can download the shows, listen to them at your heart's content. Podcasting is available, etc., of all of your favorite liberal, progressive talk shows, including all of the shows that are on the Head On Radio Network, including my show. Guy James, his shows are archived over there. Bob Kincaid's show, Head On with Bob Kincaid, is archived over there. Cup of Joe Radio Show, Fourth Estate Radio, you name it, it's over there. So I do encourage you to go and check that out. and donate something if you have the opportunity, because he really could use it, okay? Go do it. It's the right thing to do. You know it's the right thing to do, so go do it. It's that plain and simple, okay? Again, we're chatting in the Hit On Radio Network chat room. Let's see, anything else I need to do? Yes, give us a call. Today we're going to do open lines again. Yesterday we did open lines, and you know, it really actually took off very well. It actually did very well, and so I think we had a little bit of a technical issue. Anyway, we did very well yesterday. Had a bunch of calls come in. Had a really good time, and I just got to tell you that I feel like we should probably do it again. Let you guys vent all you want to vent, to talk about what you want to talk about. I've got some topics here, you know, or we can talk about your topics. Either way, it makes no difference to me. Because we're all about conversation radio here on the Hit On Radio Network. We're all about building community. You know, the people who are on the left side, including you and me, if you're listening to this radio program, and if you're not politically left-leaning and you're listening to this show, you know, I'm glad you're here. You know, sit back and give us a listen. You may actually find some things that you can that resonate with you. You know, I don't believe that all politics is on a linear left-to-right scale. I think that politics, that we have a lot of different viewpoints related to different issues. And actually, there's a place you can go on the web called Political Compass. I think it's politicalcompass.net, where you can actually plot your political leanings. Now, when I went there, my leaning was a little bit to the left and less authoritative and left of Gandhi. Does that tell you anything about me? It may very well. But yeah, check that out, because you know the thing about politics these days is that you know, the Republicans and those who are on the so-called right side of the scale would like to isolate and drag some of the social liberals over to their side, or I shouldn't say social liberals, economic liberals over to their side of the equilibrium there, because they would like for you to believe that it's all about values. That, you know, that's the way they want to make you think. They want you to believe that it's all about values. That the world is going to stop on its axis if we don't stop gay marriage. The world is going to stop on its axis if we don't stop, you know, whatever it is that they think needs to be stopped, abortion or you know, whatever it is. Public schools. Oh my God, don't even get me started about public schools. The latest thing about the religio republo. Okay, we need to come up with a new word just to instead of saying the religious right, because they're not right, they're wrong. we need to come up with a new word. The religious Republicans. Okay, we're gonna have a little game. If you're listening in, send me an email. Figure out a way that we can combine those two words so that it's easy to roll off the tongue. Email it to me to bruce@brucebirch.com. The first one who has a viable choice. Let's see. The first one who has a viable choice, I'll send you a bumper sticker. Okay? I've got a bunch of bumper stickers that say all kinds of different things, and I'll give you a choice of your bumper sticker. Okay? Now, and okay, and you can't work for the Hit On Radio Network and put in your suggestion. Although that's a good suggestion, Bob. Thank you very much. Yeah, send it in. Yeah, bruce@brucebirch.com. Combine the religious right in such a way, or figure out a way that we can say that that's going to be a cool way, a way to roll off the tongue, that you can spout that in conversation really quickly and people know what you're saying. And whichever one is the best one, I will send you a bumper sticker. Now, I'll email you back and tell you if you won, of course, and then we'll let you know tomorrow who won. And I'll mail you a bumper sticker. Isn't that cool? Okay. It's about almost 14 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. You know, one of the first topics I want to get out of the gate, let's just get this thing over and done with. Now, it's the albatross that's sitting in the middle of the room. It's the pink elephant, actually, because he actually is, he's so white, he's probably is pink. And, And he is kind of a large guy, so it stands to reason we could call him the pink elephant in the middle of the room. Rush Limbaugh, and I hate even saying the name. Oh, my God, I hate saying the name, all right, because I just really despise this guy. He is the one guy who has created this whole paradigm of damn the facts, I'll believe what I want to believe kind of attitude that has pervaded this country for the last 20 years. You know, his liberal media. It's the liberal media. He wouldn't know a liberal media if it beat him on a, yeah, if it snuck up behind him. Okay, yeah, let's run the audio from his show today, Bob, if you can.
Racking my brain. I'm trying to figure out how Bob Dole's luggage got on my airplane. At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, I told the doctor, I said, look, I'm worried about the next election, not... He misunderstands me. Now things are what they are.
So to Rush, who is currently facing possible misdemeanor charges and breaching the terms of his agreement with the state's attorney down there, he decides to get on his show and tell jokes about it. Well, if I joke about it and everybody laughs, it'll go away. Oh, my God. This guy, this is the same guy who about 10 years ago said that all drug addicts need to go to jail, that they're breaking the law and they need to go to jail. They need to get charged and convicted and sent to jail. This is what he said now. And what did he do? He negotiated his way out of being what? Incarcerated. That's right. All right, well, it's about 16 minutes past the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be back. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
What would you do if you had to choose? between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant. What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
Back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Radio for a Free America right here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to be back with you this afternoon. And, you know, yeah, I just played some Rush Limbaugh audio on my radio program. And I had to go wash my ears because he's such a sleaze. Oh, my God. He's such a sleaze. Sorry if I blew your eardrums out there. It's just such a sick man, Okay, got that out. All right, we are chatting at the Head On Radio Network chat room. I would like to cordially invite you to join us in there. We've got a few folks who are hanging out, having a good time this afternoon. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, look on the left-hand side of the screen there, little menu, and you'll see the chat room. Just click on that, and you can register and get right into the chat room. We are also, I just wanted to, as an aside, but it's not really an aside, we're also being sponsored by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. This program, as well as the other programming on the Head On Radio Network, is being brought to you by the wonderful contributions and support of that wonderful organization. They're building the American dream, and they're helping us reclaim it. By golly. All right, we're going to go ahead and go over to the phones. Looks like we have our good friend Jim from West Virginia on. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve, my friend.
Well, that's always good to hear. I'm a little hot out of the collar, but I'll get to that later. I think a good expression, I don't know if you say you're going to send bumper stickers to somebody who gives you some type of shibboleth or saying about the religious right. Is that what I?
Like a one word.
Oh,
a one word.
One, three. The religious right is neither.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
neither right nor religious.
You are correct. I'm not going to say you're right, but you are correct, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, it's not original. I don't know where I found that. I just remember it from somewhere. And
I like it. I'm writing that down as we speak.
Okay.
So I'll hang on to that one and see how that matches up with the other ones. Hopefully, we'll be getting some other ones in too, some other suggestions.
You know, I was just thinking about something, and it was in reference to the casualties we have sustained over in Southwest Asia, which was 2,500
sure.
plus. And, you know, I guess when you get into war, it's a relative thing when you start losing people. But I can remember reading about the Battle of Antietam. I think it was mm-hmm. February 17th, 1862. You know how many people we lost in 12 hours in that battle?
You know, I remember it being an ungodly number, but it was up.
23,500.
How many?
23,500.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this is, the mind reels when you think of things like this. No wonder President Lincoln used to sit in the telegraph office over at the war room and listen to that thing click and see what was going to happen. But it was that battle and that victory that gave Lincoln, I think, the punch to push through the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay.
You know, he wanted to do that because he needed to have something to help the North win against the South, because in 1862, that was a good year for the Confederacy. And a lot of the Northern people had thought that perhaps the Confederacy had won its right to exist as a nation. And they didn't realize that, you know, that pretty soon the Confederates were going to be in such bad shape. But Lincoln wanted to have a special boost, and that was the Emancipation Proclamation. And Seward, his Secretary of State, said, you're going to have a big battle or something to help you to get this through. And that was Antietam, essentially. But and God knows it certainly cost both sides in terms of blood and treasure, particularly blood.
Yes.
I mean, good God.
It certainly did.
And I think yesterday, Sharpsburg, and I visited that site, and it was just imaginable that so many people died there. So, I mean, you know, as Sherman once said, war is truly hell, and it's not meant to be pleasant at all. There's nothing meant to be pleasant about it.
And
no,
you know,
glory. There's not too much glorious in all that stuff, I'm afraid, you know?
No, there isn't. Although they would like for you to believe that there is.
Yeah, they would. I mean, you know. And I'm more worried about Peter. I mean, talking about standing somebody in his basement, I thought he had given up that dressmaking outfit. I'm going to have to get Hannibal Lecter over there to see him.
I don't know where Peter is today. I'm not seeing him around. He must be. He's probably off working on a job this afternoon, I would imagine.
That's right. He has a computing company, right?
Yeah, he has his own. He has his own business. Yeah.
Well, that's a challenge right there. And
anyway,
I just thought that the religious right is neither might help you out.
All right. Well, I'll definitely keep that one in mind. I'm hoping I'll get some more suggestions
How many
today
words are you looking for? Just one or two?
I'm looking for one word so it can roll off the tongue and you can, you know, and everyone would know what you're saying when you say it.
Good Lord. That's
a tall order. That is a tall order. So think about that one and drop me an email, okay?
Well, yeah, ask me, but someone else did.
Well, what we're trying to do is get to a point where if someone calls, they can hand me a topic, so that we know that we have an idea of what the person who's calling wants to talk about. So there's not really a screener, someone says just somebody who, you know, who's at the studio, who has a general idea of the topic that you want to talk about, so that they can let me know and get me somewhat prepared, if there is such a thing. All right, it's about 27 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network, Bruce Burke's radio program. You know, one of the things that happened today in Congress, well, we'll get there after this break. Lots of things happen in Congress, but we'll talk about that today. Talk to you in a few minutes. This is Bruce Burch, Bruce Burch Radio Program.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine. With My Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. The Know-Nothings are at it again, this time trying to pass an amendment that would pave the way for the banning of flag burning, which is surely the most urgent issue that's vexing the country right now. Let's see, we got a quagmire in Iraq, another insurgency flaring up in Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden still on the loose, George Bush destroying our civil liberties at home, health care costs rising and wages falling for a majority of Americans, and all that Bill Frist and Karl Rove and Bush himself want us to focus on this week is flag burning. Well, and maybe the New York Times. The constitutional amendment is an answer to a non-existent problem. Police departments haven't exactly been reporting a rash of flag burnings recently. And the answer to this non-existent problem is profoundly un-American. They're elevating the symbol of freedom over the substance of freedom. The Supreme Court has twice ruled that flag burning is symbolic speech. It's a way of expressing disgust with the United States or its policies. Now, maybe that offends your sense of patriotism, but here in this country, we're supposed to allow for speech we find deeply offensive. That's what free speech is all about. That's why it's free. A few Democrats, like Leahy and Durbin, have courageously been making this point, but others, like Hillary Clinton, have gone along with a gagging crowd. It's not just Bush, Rove, and Frist who are the opportunists on this one. For all of them, the flag is not their last refuge, but their first. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network, and glad to have you back. It's about 32 minutes past the hour, and we'd like to invite you, if you're just now getting on the stream, we'd like to invite you to send in your contribution. Now, here's what I'm looking for, folks. I'm looking for a one-word, easy way to roll off the tongue kind of word that would describe the religious right and the more, you know, negative connotations that you can add to that will be helpful. I already have one contribution. Actually, well, I had a contribution from Jim who called a little while ago that the religious right is neither, but, you know, that's sort of a saying and not necessarily one word. But I do have one contribution already from our good friend Spike. He sends in this contribution, Al-Christa, as in Al-Qaeda, Al-Christa. So there's the first one. Now, if we get more, I'll read them as the program goes on. I encourage you to get one in, because if you do, I will send you a bumper sticker for whichever one is the best one. And we're going to start doing little stuff like this every day to try to keep the interest perked up in the program. Oh, my goodness. Al-Christa. I like it. Almost like Christ.
Chrysler. I don't know. Anyway. All right, so you got to love them or you got to hate them. What am I talking about? I'll tell you. Today, the Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid came out and said that he planned, along with the other Democrats, to block the $3,300 pay raise scheduled for January 1st for members of Congress who currently earn $165,200 annually. He said he will block this pay raise until the Republicans decide to go ahead and approve a raise in the federal minimum wage. Well, that's a good thing, right? We're going to say that's a good thing today. We're going to say that that Harry Reid did well in that area today. However, we're also going to say, wait for it. We're also going to say that Harry Reid is also, you know, you got to love him or you got to hate him. He's also decided that he's going to vote in favor of a flag burning amendment. So, you know, you make the decision whether or not you like this or you don't. I'm going to tell you where I fall on the subject. I am absolutely not happy with, you know, the whole thing over the minimum wage. Now, we had a show about this last week. I want to talk about that, but you know, about the minimum wage and the fact that the Senate voted not to raise the minimum wage. It was an amendment to a military bill or something last week that Ted Kennedy had proposed. And they voted it down, and so now Reid says, well, you know, yes, we want to put this back, and we want to push this forward to the American people. They're trying to keep it raised up, and they're trying to make this sort of a cornerstone issue, which is fine. That's absolutely great. However, after years of rejection, the flag amendment, the constitutional amendment to ban desecration of the American flag is only one vote shy of gaining the supermajority of 67 votes needed to pass the Senate. Of course, Harry Reid apparently, our fearless leader who won't take stands on things like illegal wars in Iraq, who won't take stands on things like the Downing Street memo, who won't take stands on things like illegal wiretapping. Oh, and he'll take a stand on not burning the American flag. Which party are you in, man? Is it the Democratic Party? Because I thought the Democratic Party stood for, I don't know, maybe free speech. As our good friend Matt Rothschild just talked about on the Progressive Minute there from the Progressive Magazine, he's absolutely correct. If we don't have free speech, what else do we have? That's our First Amendment, right? The Bill of Rights, right? The cornerstone of the Bill of Rights. What's the use in having a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour? You know, it's a slippery slope, folks. What'll be next? What'll be next? It just bugs me to no end. Let me just read a part of this to you. Many Democrats are expected to oppose the amendment, but Reid, the Senate Democratic leader, said he remains convinced that voting to ban flag desecration is the right thing to do. Reid's vote might become even more important because Senate Republican Whip Mitch McConnell of Kentucky has said he will oppose the amendment. Okay, so we got a guy who's on the Republican side out of Kentucky who's against it, and well, they just canceled each other's vote out, I guess. Last year, the amendment passed the House for the sixth consecutive time. All three Nevada, well, this is a Nevada-based thing. But anyway, point being is that, you know, we got Harry Reid, who is the leader of the Senate, he needs to take the stands that are about the cornerstone of our country. And I'm sorry, but, you know, an amendment to ban flag burning is not the cornerstone of our country. Now, that doesn't mean I am all in favor of, you know, people running around burning the flag. To me, it's irrelevant. If you feel like you need to express, and as Matt Rothschild so eloquently put it, I didn't know there was a rash of flag burning going on. You know, it's like, oh, my God, there goes another one. Oh, there goes another one burning the flag. Oh, no. You know, they're just everywhere. It's an epidemic of flag desecration going on. Oh, my God. But we're about values, right? See, this is the one thing that I keep coming back to. The Republican Party and the Conservative Party, those who are on the right side of the aisle, what they want to do is make the issues about values rather than about, or at least they want to make it about their values rather than about real people's values. What the hell good is a flag-burning amendment going to do if you can't afford to buy your medicine this week? It's not going to make one damn bit of difference. You know, if you are working in the mill here in North Carolina and you're making, I don't know, $8.75 an hour, and your mother is living off of Social Security check, and she can't make ends meet because, you know, your dad died of a heart attack because he smoked 3 packs a day for years. Because tobacco is okay. This is North Carolina, right? So you're making $8.75 an hour because you've been downsized out of every other job that you had, and the only one that you could get was this one. And you're trying to raise a family on $8.75 an hour, and meanwhile your mother, who is on Social Security, can't even make ends meet because the rate of Social Security paying back to senior citizens hasn't raised with the rate of inflation or the cost of living. So she's having to make a decision about taking medication or eating. Never mind having a pet. Never mind putting gas in the car at $3 and whatever it is in a gallon, $2.90 a gallon. Never mind trying to, do something for yourself like a treat. And this is the kind of reality. But we're going to ban flags from being burned. And we're going to keep them doggone gays from getting married. And that's what we're going to spend all of our time in Congress debating about, because as we know, we don't want to, like, put any kind of programs in place to make this country look like the socialist states of America. And that's the paradigm. The right has made you believe that caring about other people and creating a government program that shows caring about other people is socialist, which is bull. Complete, unmitigated bull. There was a time in this country where we did actually care about our people, and we made sure that we tried to help them out when they needed help. If someone needed the help, sure, they had to jump through a few hoops to make sure that, you know, they're getting the help that they needed, but they were given the help. Now, with this Republican Congress in place, it wouldn't surprise me in 2009 to see the abolishment of the Department of Health and Human Services altogether. It would not surprise me a bit. And that's troubling. I mean, even the veterans that we see every day, even the veterans that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, that came back from Vietnam, that came back, that went through Grenada, that went through any number of military actions around the world, they're faced with a bureaucracy that no longer works for them. And that is absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Now, what can we do about it? That's a good question, and I think we should talk about that some more. But, you know, the fact that we have a Democratic leader that thinks that it's important to ban the freaking flag from getting burned, come on, man. That's not important. It's important to feed people. It's important to house people. It's important to have a national health care policy so that people don't die because they don't have enough money to pay the bill. It's important to have a safety net so that people, when they lose their jobs, for medical reasons, and they can't pay the doctor bills. There's a way out for them, and they don't wear it like a some sort of heavy weight around their neck for the rest of their lives. That's what's important. And it bugs me to no end that we have a Congress right now that wouldn't know what's important if it bit them on the ass. And those are the Republicans in Congress. Those are the Republicans who have taken over this Congress. And they have dictated the terms of agreement. They have dictated the terms of debate to the rest of us. So, yeah, we're stuck debating gay marriage. We're stuck debating immigration. We're stuck debating flag-burning amendments while the rest of the nation burns. We're stuck debating whether or not the flag can be burned. It's disgusting and it's repugnant. And you and I deserve better from our leaders. We absolutely deserve better. We're coming up on about 45 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you too can avail yourself of free speech, and we'll even pick up the dime. The number is 1-877-443-2366. Or you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I wanted to steal, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of 5 corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content, then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
You're back on the Bruce Hirsch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. Glad to be back with you. It's about almost 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and we do have a caller on the line, so we're going to go right over to our good friend Spike from Easton, PA. Spike, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, it's Soggy Gonzo. Greetings there, Bruce. Good to finally be able to actually listen to the show and call in for once.
Are you on... Well, that's cool. So what do you like, stealing internet from somebody, or?
No. The problem is that a lot of I'm at work at this time of night. So more often than not, I miss the show because I'm working at the time. But I've had some asthma problems the past few days, so I've been able actually to be home and listen to the show. And usually my one weekday off is city council night, so then I'm at City Hall then against the show. So it's great you got the weekday show, but for me, it's the Sunday night one was a lot easier for me to catch.
Well, you know, on Sundays, I believe in the starting next week, actually, we're going to try to start this week, but I believe next week, this coming Sunday anyway, we're going to try to do a replay of the best shows of the week throughout the day on Sunday, so you can catch, you know, whatever you missed, the best of throughout the week on our stream. We weren't able to do it this past Sunday, had some internal server issues, but this coming week, I think we've got all that ironed out. So do check in for that.
Yeah, you didn't have any guys asleep on your couch or anything trying to fix your connection, did you?
No.
Okay. NBC News, but that was actually a big enough story to put in their nightly news, which was a mockery of NBC nightly news. Even, you know, not that we didn't know already, they're clueless, but that's something for the Daily Show or at best Overman's, keeping tabs kind of comedy little segment. It's not really real news. And best of all, the guy was Comcast had the guy on hold for over an hour, and no one keeps reporting that little fact that the company put him to sleep by keeping him on hold. But
and that's not uncommon. I think that actually there was a good friend of mine who was on hold with I'm thinking it was Vonage or one of these internet telephony companies.
Okay.
He said he got on the phone like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, was not off the phone until 4 a.m.
I wouldn't doubt it. I know that goes on with a lot of things. I know Sirius, when people sometimes are trying to go on the phone and connect their satellite radio, they sit on hold for a long time, and once they start piping that music at you, it's like you're getting a cavity filled. You're just gonna pass out, you know. That's what that kind of music does. But and you know what? That's news of distraction, and in a way, flag burning is the political version of politics of distraction.
Exactly.
Interestingly enough, and I wish maybe you mentioned it, but I wish somebody could go back and look every time this is proposed. What we need to look at is who's president of the United States and what's going on when these proposals are made. Because, you know, I think the last time there was a big hurrah over this was when H.W. Bush was in office. Yeah, a lot in the early 90s with hats and bumper stickers and all that. And it's funny, too, because then we have someone like former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, Navy SEAL, which means he volunteered to serve in the Vietnam conflict as a SEAL, which meant he did some of the craziest stuff of all. And he's gone on the record many a time saying free speech protects all speech, not just popular speech. And he takes great offense to people trying to, you know, he says, hey, I really don't like the idea of people burning the flag. It's offensive. But that's why I served. You know, they have every right to do that. You know, and I find that interesting too. You know, of course, he'll get overlooked because he's, you know, Jesse and does what he feels like doing. But in the same, he's probably one of the best examples of someone who believes in free speech. And no, you know, they never talk about that. You know, they always give us these crackpots like Charlie Dent, my local far right congressman here, or something that really bothers me is once, you know, when is Arlen Specter going to snap out of it? Why is he standing up for this thing? Him, of all people, he's trying to distance himself from Dick Santorum right now. The last thing he needs to do is agree with him on anything. You know, so it's just interesting, you know, and it happens at local levels of government, too. My mayor here loves to distract us when there's a big controversy going on of, you know, his incompetence at work and, you know, and in the council members that do it in the city. Yeah, it's not just even at the national level, but the local level you see it too. And I think recently, it's kind of ironic, on Fox, that a cartoon called The Family Guy kind of did a whole big thing goofing on politics of distraction in their town where Adam West, who at one time was Batman on TV, plays the voice of the mayor there, and he's a wacky kind of mayor. And, you know, since it's a cartoon, and when he had some controversy, he created a big gold statue of that frog from the cereal brand, and then people got all worked up about that, so then he started doing this whole thing about banning gay marriage in his town, so people would forget that that statue of the golden frog cost millions. And I thought that was both a hilarious and really on-the-mark commentary to, you know, what politicians on both sides do here when the heat is on them. They throw the little smoke capsule somewhere so we don't see them for a second. And it's the politics of distraction. You know, past few years we've been hearing more and more news of distraction. You know, whether it's the bikini strangling or that girl in Bermuda or Lacey Peterson, you know, that Chandra Levy. But we get a lot of political distraction, too. No one really kind of goes after politics of distraction because both sides do it, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. No one really wants to go after the other side for it because they know one day the tail will be turned and they'll be doing the same brainless kind of maneuver there.
Well, you know, the politics of misdirection, I actually wrote, oh, my goodness, this has been a while back. This has probably been back in 02 or maybe even early 03. I actually wrote a long essay on this and how how much Karl Rove tries to generate false flag situations, you know, to try to pull people's attention away from what's really going on. And I dare say that, you know, this is what this is about. It's about trying to keep people from looking at illegal wiretapping. It's trying to keep people from looking at, oh, I don't know, bribes and corruption within the Republican Party. It's trying to keep people from looking at what's really going on in D.C., you know, and so far the media is a lap dog and is sucking it right up.
Yeah, oh, especially the TV media. I mean, I took a news writing course, and I can tell you there's a big difference, too, between how the print, you know, the editors are more of the problem in the print media than a lot of the people who do the writing there. You know, a lot of stuff gets cut before it goes to print. But TV, you know, I see it at the local level when the TV people come to City Hall to cover a story. A lot, they show up in the middle of the meeting. They just record what's there. For a few minutes, they're going to be there. They put a whole story around those few minutes they're there, even though they missed maybe the more important stuff for the story, whereas the print writer will be there the whole thing taking notes, and they've got to put it together. So the TV media is just a joke. Really, all TV news is a filler to keep you hanging on for the commercials. You know, it used to be the other way around, and now really it's just that the more important part of the evening news is to advertise that. You know, like last night, NBC News was at a Walmart in southern Pennsylvania in a flood, and the guy, of course, has to have his little fly fishing pants on so he can stand waist high in the water in the parking lot. Meanwhile, the dry part of the parking lot's near the store. He could have just stood there at the water in the background. But the interesting thing is, of course, he was pictured where just right in the frame, the big word Walmart would be behind him the whole time they have him talking. And, of course, who has at least one commercial every night on NBC's Nightly News but Walmart? You know, so, you know, the TV media is really the bigger demon when it comes to giving us news of distraction, politics of distraction. You know, it's just, it's kind of funny, you know, the one time the Republican Party did cry, wag the dog, it happened to be when someone was going after a guy by the name of Osama bin Laden. I find it interesting. We've never heard anyone try to throw that card out there again, and, you know, of course we got it now again. And I just don't, you know, Rothschild's right, too. You heard these big waves of flag burns other than, like, Iran, which we can't control what they're doing over there. I mean, I can't think of it too many places here where they do it. And really, if people really want to go after it, they could give it the great neoconservative globalization argument. If we ban flag burning, we hurt the flag industry because someone has to keep making flags. You know, so...
Well, and as it was pointed out to me a few minutes ago, you know, the only way now we could burn a flag is to desecrate it first and then burn it, because that's the way it has to be disposed of. Spike, I got to take a break. You want to hang on until after the top of the hour?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Well, come on. We'll just hang on right there. We'll be right back. All right. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 1 minute before the top of the hour, and your calls are welcome. 1-877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. Israelis have fired a missile at a bridge in the Gaza Strip as soldiers and tanks stand ready to launch a full-scale assault. An unknown number of people were killed when their car exploded near President Mahmoud Abbas's residence. The action follows Sunday's abduction of an Israeli soldier by Palestinian militants. Meanwhile, negotiators from the Hamas government say they have accepted a deal that implicitly recognizes Israel. However, two Hamas leaders denied an agreement has been reached. In Iraq, 450 detainees were released from Abu Ghraib today under the Prime Minister's National Reconciliation Plan. One of the largest Sunni Arab groups has endorsed the plan, which is designed to bring insurgents into the political process. Also in Iraq, a U.S. soldier and a Marine died in separate attacks near Baghdad. And yesterday, another soldier was killed in Anbar province. Nearly 70 Iraqis have died in the last 24 hours. In Baghdad, former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein will face a second war crimes trial. Shortly after the end of his current trial, in which he is charged with killing Shia Muslims, he'll stand trial for the deaths of an estimated 100,000 Kurds following the first Gulf War. In Iran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says he sees no point in negotiating with the U.S. about Iran's disputed nuclear program. That's in response to an offer by Washington to join the European Union's talks with Tehran if it agrees to stop the program. In Washington, the Surgeon General says secondhand smoke clearly kills people. He says the only way to control it is to ban smoking in all workplaces. In Washington today, the man tapped by President Bush to become the next Treasury Secretary appeared before the Senate Finance Committee. Henry Paulson, who spent 32 years on Wall Street, is expected to be approved by the full Senate by the 4th of July. Also in Washington, the House is expected to pass a bill this week that would allow drilling off the Florida coast. But Senator Bill Nelson says he will start a filibuster if it passes. Others join in his opposition of the bill, which could bring oil rigs within 50 miles of the Florida coastline. In Washington, a bill introduced in the Senate would create a national standard for preventing identity theft. It would apply to banks and other businesses handling sensitive personal information like Social Security numbers. In Arizona, a 60,000-acre wildfire near the Grand Canyon has trapped workers and tourists, and in Nevada, lightning has sparked six more wildfires. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Henry Paulson, who's expected to take over as Treasury Secretary, says that if he's confirmed, he will review the newly revealed program that allows the government to track financial information to catch terrorists. Citizens Banking has announced plans to buy Republic Bancorp in a more than $1 billion deal. That merger would create a new entity, Citizens Republic Bancorp, and could close in the fourth quarter. Three British bankers will be extradited to the U.S. to face charges related to Enron's collapse. The men had fought the move, saying that most of the alleged offenses took place in Britain and they should face trial there. Morgan Stanley has agreed to pay $10 million to settle charges by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The commission charged the firm with failing to ensure it had procedures in place to prevent the misuse of insider information. The National Association of Realtors says sales of existing homes fell in May, with the biggest drop in the Northeast. Sales also fell in the Midwest, but rose slightly in the West and the South. GM and Delphi say 47,000 workers have accepted buyouts or early retirement offers. That's expected to save the companies $8 billion a year. Intel is selling its division that makes processors for handheld devices. Chipmaker Marvell Technology will pay $600 million. Light sweet crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 116 points, NASDAQ down 30, S&P 500 down 10. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
That's right, green grass and high tides for the rest of the world. Glad to have you back with me. This is Bruce Birch, and I am the host of this radio program held here each and every afternoon from 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific. Pacific. Trying to get that out. Glad to have you back with me. Glad if you, is this the first time you've heard this radio program? Let me just go ahead and run down a couple of the quick things since we're at the top of the hour again. We are chatting live in the Head On Radio Network chat room. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com. Look on the left-hand side of the page. Click the chat button. That'll get you into our chat room. I'm also holding a contest today. If you can send me in an email to bruce@brucebirch.com, that's B-U-R-C-H, not B-I-R-C-H, bruce@brucebirch.com, if you can send me to that email address a one-word descriptive term that would be descriptive of the religious right, without having to say the religious right, one word, send that to me and I will review it. See if we can get you a bumper sticker out there. If we're trying to find something that we can use to sort of roll off the tongue. Yes. Okay, Bob, thank you very much. He's telling me that we need to open a brewery in my name, and we call it Birch Beer. Made a rim shot there. All right. Now, the other thing, too, is when we went over to the break, we left our good friend Spike hanging in limbo out there in La-La Land. Spike, can I reel you back in?
Hey, I was afraid that the high tide would hit and the Delaware would take me away before you got back there.
So you said it's soggy up there in Pennsylvania. How much rain have you guys gotten up there?
Easton's been a little more lucky, although two rivers meet here, so we're not going to be so lucky come tomorrow. Maybe a couple inches over the past days. Some parts of Pennsylvania have gotten well over a foot since, I guess,
holy
Friday.
Moly.
So it's because the rain just kind of stopped over us, like around Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, Schuylkill County. It's a hard area to describe if you're not familiar with Pennsylvania. I say Jim Thorpe because it makes a lot of maps because of its famous name, so people have an idea of what area I'm talking about. They're pretty well flooded right now at the Schuylkill River. A lot of that's going to come downstream to us tomorrow, although from what they're saying, this flood's not going to be. This is going to be my third flood in Easton since I lived here, and for a long time Easton had no floods. And since I moved here about almost 2 years ago, we're going to have now three floods in that time. So I've brought a dark cloud with me from Toby Hanna down to Easton. But it's pretty wet, pretty bad here. A lot of the parts of Pennsylvania that are flooding, they're kind of almost more landlocked Pennsylvania. They're not really on the edges of the state. So that means a lot of creeks and small rivers are really just, they can't handle all this rain any longer. Not to mention, it's with my asthma, it's killed me. I mean, humidity the past 2 days has been 80-something percent. I mean, I had to call out of work 2 days because I just couldn't handle standing outside in it. So,
it's just oppressive. Now, you know, imagine this, Spike. Imagine living about, I don't know, 300, 400 miles to the south with the same exact kind of conditions, except for it's hotter.
Yeah, Katrina. I can only imagine. Yeah. Yeah, this weather is hell for us, and this is nothing to what happened to the people in Katrina. And, yeah, I mean, it's a lot less nasty outside compared to Katrina, but I can only imagine. I mean, it's become evident to me lately. I'm very air conditioners have become a necessary luxury in my life, and, you know, I could only imagine, you know, that part of the country when something like that happens, you have no electric for days. I mean, oof. Just the health problems that must come out of that.
Well, absolutely. But what we were talking about the politics of misdirection.
Yeah.
And before we go to, are you still doing journalism school?
I'm still going to community college. I'm trying to take a distance learning political science course this next semester. Which I guess will put me right into the world of world of distraction.
to say the very least.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it blows my mind, but I think we hit the nail on the head a little bit before the break with saying that, you know, the bottom line is that these little distractions, because that's what they are, they're distractions from the real things that are going on, you know, and the shady stuff that's happening in the government right now. There's no way that anyone could tell me with a straight face that they're really debating flag burning because it's a real problem.
Oh, God, I know. And there's a reason it fails each and every time, because in the long run, you're going to find people who are not liberals. Like I said, Jesse Ventura might be libertarian, but he's no liberal. I mean, he cut funding for public television in Minnesota while he was governor to save the state from going into debt. And to be honest with you, you know, sometimes you got to do things like that in life, but, you know, certainly he's not some big, you know, card-carrying Democrat, as some would want to try to portray him as, like that would be a bad thing necessarily, unless, of course, it's a card signed by Hillary Clinton, but I digress. And there's a guy who believes, yeah, you know what, it is despicable, but you know what, they have a right, you know, and he, another time he said, you know, the Nazis, they're despicable too, but we can't ban them, you know, they just let them make themselves look like fools. You know, and be above that, and that's the mentality this country needs sometimes. Instead of trying to, it's kind of interesting. You know, they also tried to bring democracy at the barrel of a gun to a part of the world, and that isn't working either. So who knows what'll come out of this whole flag burner issue? Like I said, these guys they're such neo-libertarians. Some of these neo-clowns that you know. To be honest with you, someone should start raising the issue that they're going to hurt the flag sales industry if they ban the burning. You know, people will sell less flags. It'll hurt the economy.
It's just a red herring. That's what they call it. It's a red herring. It's a straw man. They're sticking this thing up, this issue up there, as if it were a big deal, and it really isn't. it's just a non-issue, and no more time should be spent on it than we spent on Rush Limbaugh earlier today, or at least on this show.
Hey, and real quick, before I get heading out here, I took that political compass test.
Yes.
And it has me, I'm very confused. I'm not really near anybody on the spectrum, at least the way it looked when I was looking at the thing on the screen. It has me at, for economic left-right, -6.6.3, social libertarian / authoritarian, -6.97. It makes me more confused than anything else exactly what they're trying to tell me where I'm at. Although for the most part, most of the questions, the only ones that would even put me close to a quote libertarian was the issue of land ownership. And that was probably about it, actually. So I'm not quite.
Well, that means that you are that you still remain the enigma that you've always been, Spike.
Yeah, well, precisely.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, my friend. It's great to hear from you, and great to talk to you today. I hadn't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's great to hear your show. Although it doesn't seem right hearing bumper music for you that isn't Frank Zappa. You know, when I heard that Rush before, I had to cringe. It wasn't quite the same effect you get from a Frank Zappa bumper.
Well, I wanted to image the show a little bit differently since we're in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And but we'll throw, you know, just in your honor, my friend, we'll throw another Zappa bumper in there before the show's over with.
Hey, no problem. Hey, one of these days you gotta find Ween. They're kind of a similar character too.
All right, I'll check it out.
So, all right, have a good one, man.
Okay, thanks a lot, Spike. Great to hear from you, man. And that was our good friend Spike from Easton, PA, who's a long time friend of this program, going back way back to, gosh, probably August, September of last year. So it's good to hear from him, and knowing that he's still fighting the good fight up there in Easton, PA. We're going to go ahead and take our quarter hour break here. It's about 15 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio program. I will be right back with you right here on the Head On Radio Network.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it's, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to be back with you. There's your bumper, Spike, if you're listening. There's your bumper, The Idiot Bastard's Son, Frank Zappa, circa 1969. How prophetic was that? That's just very, 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 very prophetic. All right, glad to be back with you. It's about 20 minutes past the hour. Wanted to bring something to your attention that really kind of blew my mind when I read this a little while ago during the break. A congressman took to the House floor yesterday insisting that illegal border crossings from Mexico have slowed due to fear of rape, robbery, and beatings at the hands of U.S. National Guardsmen. Representative Ted Poe, Republican of Texas, began his one-minute statement by characterizing the U.S.-Mexican border as a war zone. Mr. Speaker, he began, quote, "News from the front. The border war continues. Generalissimo Fox and the Mexican media have taken a setback in the illegal invasion of the United States," end quote. The deployment of the U.S. National Guard to the Mexican border, according to Poe's statements to the House, was actually a little more than a publicity stunt to appease Americans. Still, the congressman believes it is responsible for a drop in crossings over a 10-day period. In the Texas lawmakers' estimation, Mexicans hoping to enter the U.S. have slowed their crossing out of fear of being brutalized by the National Guard, which they see as similar to that Mexican military machine that is on the southern Mexican border, that reportedly rapes, robs, and beats Hondurans and Guatemalans that are just trying to do jobs that Mexicans won't do. Okay. Just think, concluded Congressman Poe, what would happen if we used more guardsmen on the border front? Okay. If this were Survivor, I would say let's vote the Nazi off the island. Oh, God. Poe blamed this setback for potential illegal immigrants on propaganda from the Mexican media, which he claims has exaggerated the truth about U.S. guardsmen, taking a page from the New York Times and their hatred for the U.S. military. That's what he said. Taking a page, the Mexican media now, he says the Mexican media is taking a page from the New York Times and their hatred for the U.S. military. Poe had, just seconds earlier, characterized the Mexican media as part of the invasion. Okay, how did this freaking moron get elected? I'd like to know. Hello? Oh, my God. Congressman Poe, may I suggest one small item to you, sir? You need to go and petition the wizard for a brain. If I only had a brain. He stood up on the floor of Congress and uttered this crap. My God. Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? I think that there's one person who has one more bit of hatred for the military, and I would say that would be Mr. Congressman, the Congressman Ted Poe of Texas. You know, the National Guard down there, yeah, they're raping and beating Mexicans, right? And what else are they doing? I guess they're eating their babies as well. I think maybe the other thing that they're probably doing is they're disemboweling them, and they're wearing their disemboweled innards as necklaces around their necks, huh? And they're also probably pulling their toenails out and making them use their, this is just insane. These people are crazy. They have lost their minds. And here we have, they're sitting in the houses of power, people. My God. These are the people who are supposed to be running our country. And it really is quite crazy. It's quite crazy. And you know what? I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, because what's going to happen is these folks are going to get elected to power again. They're going to steal it again. They're going to steal the election again. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go, oh, my God, they're going to have these people elected again. They're not getting elected. They're stealing the election. And once they steal the election again, it's about being demoralizing. Okay. Now, we did have another input, or a couple of other inputs for our little contest going on here. The first one is Al Christa, that was sent in by our good friend Spike. Al Christa, as in Al-Qaeda, Al Christa. We also have someone else put in the idea, the Antichrist, as in, Auntie. Like Auntie M, the Antichrist. We also have another one here from Kitty. Kitty sends in one, Domino Theocrats, as in the they want to dominate everything, and they're all about the dominionists and all that stuff. Well, Domino Theocrats. That's a very interesting term there, Kitty. Thank you for sending that in. Now, if you, too, we have about a half an hour left or so. If you would like to send in your one-word description of the religious right, send it to Bruce at Bruce Birch, B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at BruceBirch.com. And, if you win the contest, of which I am the sole judge and runner of the contest, you know what, I may just send a dang bumper sticker to everybody. But if you win the contest, then you will get a bumper sticker, and it'll be something with something leftist, some sort of leftist saying on it. So I'll let you know. But do send in your input to that email address, and we'll see what we can do about getting you on the air and getting that situation dealt with. Because I want to have a word that I can use every day to roll off my tongue about the religious right. Now, this is a one-word religious right. Okay. Now, we're going to go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break here at the Head On Radio Network, and then we'll be back. So take your phone calls. You can dial in 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On, and you can also email me. You can email me something besides that word if you want. Bruce at BruceBirch.com.
I'll be right back.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. It's happened before in our history, and I've just been waiting to see if it was going to happen again. Back during the Civil War and then again during World War I, the government prosecuted editors. Not a practice that thrills me, as you might imagine, nor should it thrill you for that matter, since it's about as blatant a violation of the First Amendment as there is. But that didn't stop Representative Peter King, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, from wanting to get the cuffs out on the editors of the New York Times. We're at war, he said, and for the Times to release information about secret operations and methods is treasonous, he added. He's singing Alberto Gonzalez's tune. The attorney general, who's supposed to be the leading law enforcement officer of the United States and is sworn to uphold the Constitution, has been warning himself about prosecuting journalists. What King and Gonzalez don't seem to appreciate is that we, the American people, need to have a free press to check the excesses of government. Such a free press has never been needed more than today, when the Bush administration has taken excess to the nth degree. So before they throw Arthur Sulzberger Jr. in the hooscow, they might want to consult a copy of the Constitution if they can still find one laying around. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the inside scoop. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're back on the Bruce Burke radio program. We're about 30 minutes before the top of the hour, and consequently about 30 minutes past the top of the hour. It's kind of an interesting thing. We're at equilibrium right here on the Head On Radio Network. I do believe we're going to head back over to the phones, and we have Bob from North Dakota on the line. Bob, how the heck are you, my friend?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Better than I deserve.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think you're doing great. I think you're starting to get there, but hey, Bruce, I'm angry with you tonight. I really am. This afternoon.
Okay.
Why do you want to give up the fight before you even get to it?
Huh? Okay.
We need
the
to
fight.
Get to it. Yeah. Well, hey, the fight for the 2006 elections in November. Okay. Either we fight or we die. You know, you're going to die either way. So, hey, at least put up a fight, you know?
Oh, I'm absolutely with you there, Bob.
Thank
I was you. Referring I was referring to these guys who want to steal elections.
Yeah, but, hey, the theft ain't, hey, when you got a thief in the house, what are you going to do? Stand there and watch him go through your drawers? Or are you going to just, hey, watch him and make sure, hey, when he comes in the house, you got a bigger stick, and you just whack him in the back of the head and say, get out my drawers, boy. Get out my drawers. Kind of like Jesse said, stay out the bushes, but nobody listened to Jesse, did they? Huh?
Apparently not.
Listen, huh? Stay out the bushes. Hey, now
well,
do something else.
I do think that there are states that have actually begun that kind of fight that you're talking about. And that would be, in my mind, it's about changing, you know, making sure that we have verified voting, voter confidence acts in every state across the country.
Well,
because anything that has a federal act attached to it is going to be in favor of the electronic voting machines.
Of course. And the thing is, whose country is it? Is it, does it belong to the corporations? Did the corporations, create this country? Did they fight to throw out the British so that the British corporations would go away? No, it wasn't the states; it was the people. And you know,
absolutely.
You got to say something. You know, like there were people back in the day. I mean, like Tom Paine and a few others. You know, that just kind of said some words, and you're looking for a word to make sense of this whole craziness that we're living right now, and the only word I can come up with is nonsense. You know, I mean, it is nonsense. They keep giving you night after night of nonsense until you get to the point it wears on you, son. It wears on you, and you know, and it's funny. It's kind of like working 12, 14, 16, 18, 20-hour shifts, you know. After a while, you just kind of get worn out, and that's what they're trying to do to you right now. They keep throwing this stuff out. You got Rush on limp balls, and you got all them other people, you know, that are just throwing out stuff and wearing on you and wearing on you. But focus, okay? I mean, keep your edge. Look at what we need to do, all of us, not just me or you. But all of us, we have a mission. A mission. It's kind of like, first there's several things in the military that you have to learn, okay? And the main thing is mission. What do you need to accomplish to get through and accomplish your mission? And there's sacrifices going to go with it. And some of us are going to go down. That's no question about that. Some of us are going to be destroyed. Some of us are going to be in prison. Some of us are going to be killed. Some of us are going to be... Okay. But we're not going to, you know, don't sweat the big thing. Sweat the little things. The little things that divide us. Those things when someone disagrees with someone in your clan, do you take that member out and say, well, he disagreed with the big guy and then chopped his head off? Well, that sounds rather archaic and barbaric to me to throw someone out because they disagree with you or disagree absolutely with what you're trying to present. Because when I look back on things that I've done and I see, well, there are times when I just got to be a little bit obnoxious just to see how far I could push the other guy, okay?
Okay.
And I used to do that just to see how far he would go before I broke him or things got broken, just to see how far you could push a person before that person either stands up, finds that he has a backbone, and looks you right in the eye and said, hey, Sarge, that's enough. Hey, but I ain't putting up with this anymore. And then you'd welcome him in and say, well, you're finally cleared for, okay, I'll say it this way, bovine scatato, okay?
Okay.
You're finally cleared for it because you pushed the man. You know he's a good man. You know he can do a certain task. And you wear on him, and you use him, and you just make him, you make him feel like, hey, the world's against me. And there are people that will break under that kind of pressure; they'll just fall apart. But, bro, hey, you got to be that old. You got to take my place, okay? Step in there and just kind of, you know, you work on them. Just, you know, lay it out there. But you have a mission, and your mission is what?
My mission is to counter the misinformation and to bring facts and truth back to bear.
Yep.
That's my mission.
So you want to break the neck of the dragon. You don't want to grab him by the tail and swing him around so his eyeballs pop out, right? You want to break his neck. You want to take him down. You want to destroy this enemy that you see before you, right? You want to take this enemy out. You want him to just disappear, become that party of people that are just totally, you know, they're not accepted within the society anymore because this society finally wakes up. Well, you got a big order in front of you, but, you know, you're not going to do it by going to chop the head off the dragon. You know, you got a hold of his tail, and you're saying, dang, do I really want to take this guy out, and do I really want to fight this dragon? Do I really want to take and go all the way and then finally climb up on his back and ride him for a while you're trying to work your way up to where you can break his neck? Or, you know, because we got a tall order in front of us, a big, tall order. And the hard part about when you take on an enemy like that is, okay, first, do you have the will and then the stamina, and then, you know, that point where, you know, when you get whooped, you know, like we did in 2000, and we got whipped in 2002, and then we got whipped again in 2004. We got whipped by allowing the dragon, or whatever you want to call it, to cheat, steal, lie, use electronic voting, and to cloud the issues, and that mainstream media to tell us that, hey, don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain there, Dorothy, because you know you're in the land of Oz. You're not in America anymore. Well, we've all been taken over the rainbow. We're surrounded by idiots, Rose. And most of the idiots are us. You know, like me, I'm pretty much an idiot. I believed for a long time, and I respected my leaders, and I believed, and I was a believer. And now I tell people I won't tell you what I tell my son to do about believing in one hand and, you know, kind of in the other, and then see which one you fell first, you know. But something that this liberal media does is inspire people. It does, this liberal media. This, okay, so don't tire out on me now. You're just getting started. Don't find this, oh, darn, it's getting heavy, and we're looking at November, and it's only like July, shortly here. It's going to be July. We got August, September, October, November. That's 4 months away. Hey, we have hit the point of no return. There's no going back to, you know, and looking back doesn't change it. We got to charge ahead, and we might be out of ammo. We might be out of ideas, but we have one major idea that is prescient, okay? Take back America. Take it back not for me. And not for you, but for we the people, all the people of this nation, the Hispanic people, the Asian people, the African American people, which I just think of as people. I really don't categorize them. And even the Euro American people. And, you know, if you look back in history, the Euro American or the Euro people, or the people of Europe, have brought more hell on this planet than any other nation ever has, and we have to accept the fact that we, as a creature, I mean, that's we, meaning myself and yourself, are basically flawed. We're all flawed. We all want it our way. I mean, not we don't want to, you know, go over and and barbecue with the neighbor. We really don't want him because, hey, you know, maybe he's a smelly old man, you know, and then, you know, he might stink up the house, so they keep him out of here. Or maybe he's an Asian American, or he's a Hispanic American, or he's a, you know, my son, William, I call him the dude, he's down in another state right now, and his best friend is a Hispanic American young man. But he says, Dad, he says, you know, my best friend, he's got darker skin than me, and I never thought about that. And I says, you know something, dude, I never taught you to discriminate. I don't see a difference between an Iraqi human being and a European human being or an African human being. Or
all humans, right?
Yeah, hey, we're all, hey, when you break it down and you get right down to the, you know, the nth degree of the DNA, there's not even, hey, there's such a little difference in any of us that we're all the same. We're all the same. And then you go into the great apes and into the chimpanzees and into the monkeys, and you find out we're really close to them, too, you know? The
yep.
sad part is when you take DNA from a Republican and you cross-reference it, the only thing you come up with is a pig. I mean, they're not even human. A Republican and a pig are the same thing. Sorry, but that's how I see it.
I hear you, Bob. Bob, I got to go over to a break here real quick.
I had too much of your time, but like I said, Bruce, don't give up the fight until either you got your butt kicked or you done walked through it and you came out a winner. And hey, we got to win, son.
Absolutely.
We got to win in November. We've got to take back the House. Or the Senate, and that's all there is to it. And if we ain't screaming every day to vote Democrat, and hey, even if we got some rotten ones in there, that's fine. We'll weed them out later. But vote for the Democrats because, hey, independents, hey, there's a few of them, but there's not enough of them. So let's get the Democrats back in. We'll weed out the stunk later, I was going to say. We'll weed out the bad seed later, and right now we just got to take it over, get in there, we can get some investigations going, we can get this thing straightened out, period. But if we vote Democrat, well then, hey, might as well, like you said, I'm tired.
That's right.
So let's fight. And hey, if they kill us in the fight, at least we stood on our back legs and fought like men. I'm sorry. Go ahead, have your break. I love you, boy. You're doing great.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
I look forward for our next conversation.
We'll do it tomorrow. All right. Thank you so much, Bob, for joining the program this evening. All right, we got to get to a quick break, and I'll be right back.
So when they speak to you of glory.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice.
Every 3 minutes.
The Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. Hertenu oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 10 minutes before the top of the hour and the start of Head On with Bob Kincaid, the Rantalicious radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network, who follows me in my time slot. Bob is he's truly an artisan at the in the task of ripping apart the Reich wing. Did I say that? Did I roll my R? The Reich wing. There it is. There's the role. Reich wing. I wonder if that's going to be, if I'm going to get a call about that. Maybe not. Had a couple more interesting inputs on the one word to describe the religious right. Gene in Oregon sends this in, Biblicons. Biblicons. All right, there's one. And another one came in from Suzanne. Suzanne sends in one called Neo-Theocons. I like it. I like it. We got some great suggestions. I think we got about four or five of those today. So I'll take a look at those overnight, and I'll let you know at the start of the program tomorrow where we are with that. And and then I'll get in touch with you and see about getting you a bumper sticker. Something you can slap on the car to make it known that that's right. Make it known that you too are against the insanity that's going on in our country today. These people running the country are freaks. They truly are. Oh, here's another one. My producer says Babylonians. Oh my gosh! You know, once you start getting started with this kind of thing, it just takes you on a roller coaster ride. You just never know where you're gonna end up. It's kind of like my first date. You just never know where you're gonna end up. when all is said and done. Not to be outdone by anything he's ever said before, Jerry Falwell has come out and said, yes, that Hollywood is full of perverts for the 7,432nd time. And I'm not so absolutely sure that that's exactly how many times he said it, but it sure seems to me like that's about how many times I've heard it. Breaking news, right? Breaking news. Breaking news! Falwell's a moron! Oh, my goodness. He says, quote, you almost got to be a homosexual to be recognized in the entertainment industry anymore. And I suppose you have to be in a barbecue restaurant to recognize Jerry Falwell. Oh, I'm having too much fun here. Oh, my goodness. See, I'm from Virginia, and, you know, he just, this guy doesn't, you know, if anyone needs to have their nonprofit status as a church yanked, he's the one. He is the one. And that's, I just wanted to, you know, Christo Reichus. Here's one from the chat room. Christo or Christo Reichus. Interesting. Christo Reichus. Okay. Gosh. Now, whoever put that in there, email that to me. Bruce@BruceBirch.com. Bruce@BruceBirch.com. And if you have any more suggestions on a one-word descriptive, you don't have to be nice. It's not supposed to be nice. As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be downright mean and slamming. Bastardians. Send it to Bruce@BruceBirch.com. Let's get as many one-word descriptive terms as we can up there to find out exactly how we want to run this. Now, yeah. All right, so it's about 5 minutes before the top of the hour, and I just wanted to go ahead and run our credits and get out of here so that our good friend Bob Kincaid can come in and I'm keeping the chair warm for him, by the way. Let's see. The show is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and we're helping them to reclaim it through the Head On Radio Network. They support us through a lot of different ways, and the programming here would not be possible without their contribution and their help. So thanks, guys, for swinging that hammer and for making this thing a reality. Now, I also want to thank Bob Kincaid for producing my show this afternoon. Smashing job, Bob. Smashing job. I'd like to thank John Fox for announcing the radio program and being the voice of the Bruce Birch radio program. I'd also like to thank our good friend Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services for keeping the internets here running in a petulant frenzy. A petulant frenzy. Also want to thank Ben Birch over at the White Rose Society for archiving this program and for many other programs on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks, Ben, for doing that. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too. And it's not a spectator sport. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. This is Bruce Birch for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll always remember. I could never forget our reality.